I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, and you are listening to Boston Public Radio. So if you're a music geek like I am, it's kind of an embarrassment of riches here at WGBH. We've got a music library that's got CDs and LPs. We've got Classical New England just down the hallway, where you've got some really big brains on classical music who are spinning records. And then, of course, there is the dean of Boston Jazz Radio, Eric Jackson himself, who is just down the hallway doing his thing on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And recently, I talked to Eric, and I wanted him to come on the show to be able to talk a little bit of jazz with him. And so I had this idea. I was like, Eric, you know, let's do this thing where we pick the 10 greatest jazz albums, and you help us build this list of the essential jazz albums, and I'm thinking we'll put it up online, and it's going to be great. And I called Eric on the phone, and I present this idea, and I said, what do you think, Eric? And he says,
no.
So that's Eric Jackson right there, the dean of Boston Jazz Radio. You hear him right here on 89.7. Let's actually talk about that, because okay. I was interested, and the reason why I wanted to kind of tell that story is because of what we talked about right after that. And so, you know, you were like, no, not really going to do it. And you started to explain why.
Right. I think that I'm in a different position than someone who's deals with print media. Because I'm on the radio, I have always told people what you should do is keep a pencil and paper handy by the radio. When you hear something you like, write that down. And you should build a library based on things that you like. I could give a list of things that might be considered essential, but if you don't like them, you're never going to listen to them. So there's no point in me doing that when I have a way to present the music to the people, and you can hear it and say, yeah, I like this guy. Whether some quote expert says this is an essential recording or not, you've already listened and say, yeah, I like the way this guy sounds. So yeah, I should get some music by this guy. That's basically the way I started listening. You know, I found a few people that I liked, and then I started buying records by them, and then I started buying records by other artists that they were featured on. And so I sort of grew my own self musically that way.
Let's get into that a little bit, since you're talking about how you kind of came to jazz and how you grew yourself. Were you listening to jazz from a young age? Did you have people around you listening to jazz? What were you listening to when you first started to listen to music?
I think, you know, jazz was always in my house because my father was such a huge jazz fan. So jazz was always a part of my life. I've never thought, as some people think of, jazz, that's my father's music. I never really had that kind of idea. Jazz was good music like any other kind of music, and I liked it like I liked other music. So I didn't really make that distinction. I think there were times when I decided what I was going to listen to based on my mood much more than the genre. I think I feel like listening to this kind of sounding music, and that's what I put on, more than saying, I have to listen to jazz, or I have to listen to rhythm and blues or something like that. And I always felt very comfortable with all kinds of different music. You know, I can tell you I spent time listening to folk music programs and, you know, all kinds of different things too.
For those of us who don't know, talk a little bit about your father, because he was your father, but he was also a radio personality.
Right. My father was the first African-American radio announcer in New England. He went on the air in Providence in 1947. He actually went to the station to audition as a vocalist. The station had a house band, and he went to audition as the vocalist and didn't get the job as the vocalist, but they did hire him as an announcer there. So he went on the air. He was on the air for about 3 years, and ironically, he quit just after I was born, and the family moved to New Jersey, and he never did radio again except when he'd come up to visit me. So for about 25 years, he was on the air with me around Father's Day, and he would pick out all of the music. I didn't pick out any of the music when he was on the air. And the first few years that he was on, some of his old listeners from Providence would call up and say, "Hey, I remember you, man."
Was he doing jazz in Providence? Or
Yeah, he did jazz.
Uh-huh. And how did, was he, you said he was a vocalist. Was he a musician himself, or did he study jazz, or was he, you know?
He didn't really study it, but he did sing. One story that I like to tell, somewhere around 1940, he was living in Washington, D.C., and he entered a talent show in D.C., and he came in first place in the talent show. The guy who came in second place got to be pretty well known as a vocalist. His name was Billy Eckstein.
Hey, not bad.
Right.
So that's great. So Eric, you know, you just got back from Newport Jazz, and that's a place you've been going to for years, and you're involved in. You're, you know, introducing acts down there. When you go down there, do you still get excited? Do you still hear things that sort of catch your fancy, and you say, "Man, this is good right now"?
Well, I think there's a couple things about Newport. One, it's a big party.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's great to run into people. There are people who come from way out of town. I was going to say all over the country, but certainly from way out of town. So I get to see people. I saw a guy who I see there pretty regularly from North Carolina. There are guys from New Jersey, South Jersey that I know that come up every year. When I run into those people, I meet a ton of people who just walk up and talk about the show. And so I enjoy that social aspect of the festival. And then there is all of this music that it's always exciting. From year to year, it varies as to who the groups that are going to be there. But there's always so much music. There are three stages now. And, you know, you sort of go from stage to stage listening to the music that's there. And sometimes it's a little much even. You know, there's so much music. It's like, oh, my goodness, who am I going to see now?
It's overwhelming. Too much. Uh-huh. Well, one of the acts I know that you were excited about that you saw this year, and I think you introduced him on the stage, was Kurt Elling.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear a little bit of Kurt Elling right here. He's a vocalist.
Right.
And this is Kurt Elling doing a little bit of a, for lack of a better word, maybe scat. He's kind of doing an interplay with the drums, which is a kind of thing that he'll do from time to time. I want for if you don't know Kurt Elling, if you're listening and you haven't heard of him, check this out. See what you think. There's a little bit of that. I mean, that's maybe something that a person's not expecting. What's happening there? Is this his thing? Is this something that, you know?
No, I just think that's part of jazz, the idea of doing what they call trades, where two instrumentals or instrumentalist and a vocalist sing a phrase, four bars, eight bars, and then the other instrument answers. I think it comes out of the old call and response idea from out of West African music, and I think that's what that is, sort of a remnant of that idea. The drummer there, incidentally, was Kendrick Scott, who also went to Berkeley.
Yeah.
Lived here in Boston for a time and went to Berkeley. I think that Kurt is just one of the most exciting. Kurt was on my show a few months back, and one of the things we talked about is the shortage of male jazz vocalists, at least those recording. And I think Kurt is a bright spot because he is a wonderful vocalist who is recording, male vocalist who is recording now.
And I'm talking with our very own Eric Jackson, the Dean of Boston Jazz Radio. You hear him here on 89.7 on Friday nights, Saturday nights, Sunday nights. Eric, another act that played down at Newport, I know, is somebody that you're excited about, and what they're doing now is Jason Moran, pianist. Mm-hmm. I want to hear a little bit of him. This isn't live from Newport as that cut from Kurt Elling was, but this gives people a sense of what he's doing on piano. This is from one of his latest records. Let's hear a little bit of that right now. This is Blue Blocks, Jason Moran.
Thank you.
you like so much about his playing?
Well, one thing, Jason just has a wide range to his music. He's I also introduced him at Newport, and one of the things that I mentioned is that there are just not too many artists that I know of who have recorded music by James P. Johnson, who was, of course, active in the 20s, and Afrika Bambaataa. I mean, I just don't know too many people that have got that kind of range.
That's right.
And, you know, he's done Planet Rock. And so I think that's what's fascinating, is that he sees that jazz is this wide music, and he feels that he can bring in these different ideas to modern music. He, in fact, has a James P. Johnson tune called You've Got to Be Modernistic. Mm. And I think that's what he's trying to do, is be this modernistic.
Yeah.
He can take a tune from the 20s and say, well, it's got to be modernistic, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what I find exciting about him. He's also, of course, he's on the faculty at New England Conservatory. And just a few months ago, he was named the artistic director at the Kennedy Center in D.C. He replaced the late Billy Taylor in that position there at the Kennedy Center. So, and he does a very interesting kind of multimedia presentation. At Newport, he used a lot of I'm old-fashioned, I was going to say tape sounds. I guess they're not tape sounds anymore.
Yeah.
But he, a few months ago, he gave a performance at New England Conservatory where he used video and pre-recorded sounds and all in a tribute to Thelonious Monk.
Interesting.
So very wide-ranging ranging approach to the music.
And you kind of bring, and is he one of these folks who will bring pop music in as well, an artist, a non-jazz artist, say a Stevie Wonder or an R&B artist or anything like that?
I don't know if he would perform with them, but he certainly would use their music.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have a problem playing some of their music and being very comfortable with their
Do
music.
You listen to stuff that's not jazz ever?
A lot of times I do. Sometimes when I want to break and want to hear something different, I'd be very comfortable listening to a lot of different things. Also, I teach a class.
Yeah.
And so for my class, I sometimes listen to other things to try and prepare for the class.
What do you like? What do you like? What's sort of some go-to stuff for you?
First of all, I would say Stevie Wonder. That would be tops. Although I haven't listened much lately, but I used to listen to a lot of Prince. But I'd say Stevie has been sort of through the years somebody that I would always put on. And I think what we're seeing over the last few years, you're seeing a lot more jazz artists doing Stevie's tunes.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's right. And, you know, interestingly, I think even beyond jazz artists, I think Stevie Wonder is somebody who you know, kind of crosses all kinds of borders.
Right,
you know,
right.
I was talking with one of our other producers, Will, and we were talking about that song Higher Ground.
Sure.
And, you know, he was saying the first time I heard of that song was from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, is that right?
You know, because they did a cover of it. So it's kind of fascinating. Mm-hmm. Real quick before I let you go, I know you wanted to, we've only got about a minute left, but I know you wanted to talk about this thing that Rockport's doing coming up.
Okay. Actually, there are a couple things north of Boston. The Rockport Music Festival is coming up during the week, and Grace Kelly will be there, Roy Haynes will be there, Ann Hampton Calloway, and Ellis Marsalis, although most of those nights are sold out, actually. So only a few of those nights that have tickets left. But also this weekend, the Gloucester Blues Festival is happening, and the Salem Jazz and Soul Festival all are happening this weekend. So there's a lot of music, especially up north of Boston, this weekend.
All right, looks like if you're into the music, heading north is the thing to do this weekend. Mm-hmm. Eric, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. I hope you'll come back and talk some more jazz with us. Eric Jackson, of course, is heard right here on 89.7 WGBH from 9 to midnight, Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, and you can hear him anytime on our website. Head to wgbh.org/jazz. For that. Thanks again, Eric.
Thank you.
All right, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III. Callie Crossley is back here to take us home.
Thanks so much, Edgar. And thank you for joining us for another edition of Boston Public Radio. The conversation continues 24 hours a day on our Facebook page. We'll be back on Monday with a tribute to Julia Child, our Julia Child, plus a look at the latest political headlines, noon to 2 on Monday. I'm Callie Crossley. Boston Public Radio is a production of WGBH.